Welcome to the multiverse.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the multiverse. No, we did not have a cold open for this episode. I am Nick. With me always, as always, is Junior. Junior?
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Prepare to be not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, today's...
You know, it's fine. I'm usually not good. I just lie to people and tell them I'm fine.
Okay. Well, today's show is going to be heavy. We are... Well, I'll get to it in a minute. I'll just tell you right off the top. We are going to be covering what is a 5-issue miniseries titled Atom, Legend of the Blue Marvel. It was created by writer/actor Kevin Grievous, with art by Matt Broom. Kevin Grievous, you might know him from his movies. He was in a lot of movies as a background character. He was in Speed, The Mask, Stargate, Batman Forever, Steel, The Flintstones and Viva Rock Vegas, Planet of the Apes, Men in Black 2, and Cradle to the Grave, the one starring DMX and Jet Li.
Jesus Christ. You just took me way back.
He also had a supporting role in 2003's Hulk. He played a guy named Mitchell.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But, we don't need to talk about that.
He's also credited as a writer and a creator for the movies Underworld and its 2009 sequel, Underworld Rise of the Lycans. And
okay.
He actually acted in those movies. He was a character called Raze.
You got Kate Beckinsale, and then everyone's not Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, he's got a super deep voice. I don't know if that helps with the Underworld stuff, but...
Was he a werewolf?
He was Raze. I don't have a clue. But speaking of his voice, he's done voiceover work for shows such as The Batman, Young Justice Invasion, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and Hulk and the Agents of Smash.
Mark Hamill was also in Agents of Smash.
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah. This dude's got a lot of comic book history.
He does.
Okay.
And his comic book writing credits include an Underworld tie-in comic, kind of on the nose there, Marvel's New Warriors, and, of course, today's topic, Atom, Legend of the Blue Marvel. So
sweet.
If you've never heard of this character before, you are not alone. The Blue Marvel is a fairly new character created in November of 2008, specifically for this miniseries, and is a character that is, in canon, considered a forgotten hero. Sort of like the Sentry, if you know anything about the Sentry.
Sad boy.
He's not. Well, the Sentry is, but Adam's,
yeah.
Adam's not. After his first appearance, the Blue Marvel would later join the Mighty Avengers in 2013 and the Ultimates comic series in 2016. He has made a few video game appearances as well in the Lego games, which are Marvel's Avengers and Marvel Super Heroes 2, as well as the mobile games Marvel Avengers Alliance and Marvel Future Fight. So if you play those games, you might have seen him before.
I actually really love the Lego superheroes, like the Marvel thing. It was actually really good. You get to fly around all of New York City.
Oh, I've never played any of them.
They warrant, if you got some free time, giving them a shot.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as the Blue Marvel's powers go, he's essentially Marvel's version of Superman. He's super strong, he can fly, he's nearly invincible. And he has the ability to manipulate energy and antimatter. So maybe not so Superman on that last part.
What the hell is antimatter? Are all things just made out of matter?
You just wait. I will explain antimatter shortly.
Oh, thank God.
Also, he ages pretty slow. Okay. So like what would be nearly 40 years to him is more like 15 or 20, give or take a few years.
Okay, so he could be like 160. I mean, like, by the time he dies.
Sure. Math.
Yeah.
Math is not something I want to do. But that is all the information that I'm going to give you up front. And the rest is going to be revealed as we progress through the story.
You going to tease me like that in front of all these listeners?
Yes. Now, I will warn you, my dear junior, and you, the listeners, this episode is going to feature racism heavily. And, what?
Yay.
No, yay. I want it to be known up front that it's going to feature some language that is not okay, and I am not 100% okay with using it, but I feel it's necessary to understand why this story is important. No, I will not be using the word that you think I'm going to use.
I literally fucking didn't breathe.
No. That's not the case. Okay. It's not, like I said, it's not okay, but it's in the grand scheme of things, it's not the one that's going to get me beat up, hopefully. So,
okay.
You can breathe.
These are good disclaimers at the top.
Yes.
I don't even know what the hell we're discussing today. You basically said, hey, this is going to be heavy. We're going to have fun.
So a little bit of backstory on this. During 2020, during all of the protests and all of the bad stuff that happened that led to the protests, I'm assuming Marvel put this on a showcase because of what was going on, so I didn't just stumble across this, but I had never heard of it before, and I saw it on the Marvel Unlimited app. I tried it out, and I was absolutely blown away with how fun the story... Not fun. Words are hard for me.
Captivating?
Captivating. Thank you. It was a very good story, and reading it during everything that was going on really ramped up the story for me, and it made it more prevalent to what was going on. So that's why I wanted to I decided last year I wanted to do this story, but it just, with all the other stuff that we had planned, we're just now getting to it. So
yeah, this one's kept getting pushed back.
Yeah, which was unfortunate, but it will always be prevalent, unfortunately, because white people can't get their shit together.
Yay.
Okay, let's get into the story so that Junior can stop saying yay. All right, we will begin our story with the defeat of the Avengers. An unknown supervillain has attacked Manhattan, and when the Avengers show up to stop him, they get their asses handed to them. The likes of Wonder Man, a character strong enough to restrain the Red Hulk with little difficulty, the Wasp, who at this time used her powers to grow to giant size, and Miss Marvel, one of the strongest characters in the Marvel Universe, all fell to this newcomer.
Was this Carol Danvers, Miss Marvel?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. This left only a few Avengers to continue the fight. Iron Man, Black Widow, She-Hulk, and Yellow Jacket, who at this time was a Skrull posing as Hank Pym. I'm not getting into that. There was also the God of War, Ares. Yes, the God of War, Ares, is real in the Marvel Universe. He is a god. Hercules also exists in the Marvel Universe, but that's another thing.
So much to like unpack just in this first paragraph.
Yeah. And the last Avenger that is still standing is the Sentry, who we mentioned earlier. And the Sentry is a character that Tony Stark himself called the most powerful superhuman in the universe.
He's kind of a problem.
He's a heavy hitter. He's every bit of as powerful as a character like Superman, and as mentally unstable as a character that's mentally unstable that I can't think of. So
he is so easily manipulated too. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yeah, that is correct.
And this dude rolls really low on his insight checks. He just pretty much trusts people. They're like, we have what's best for you in our heart. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. Bites him in the ass every once in a while. Yeah. So the Black Widow and Yellow Jacket are nowhere near powerful enough for this fight, so they stay on the sidelines helping the wounded. The rest of the Avengers are dispatched easily. So easily, in fact, that this new villain monologues the entire time he's beating the shit out of him. So, tells That's you how powerful fun. He is.
And now, we still don't know who this villain is, right?
Not yet. I'm
okay.
Going to get to that later, actually.
Okay.
Now, when the fighting started, this mysterious baddie tells the Avengers they are wasting his time and he only has moments left. He tells them while ragdolling the most powerful superheroes on Earth, he is bringing a gift to mankind. A oneness not seen since man walked in the Garden of Paradise, he says. Unsure of what this means, Iron Man asks him, "Who are you? What do you want?" And he replies, "To bring this planet what it so desperately needs. Salvation."
Sounds kind of like a Tool.
Aren't they all?
That's true.
Now, Iron Man, having dealt with his fair share of crazy, world-threatening supervillains, decides to have another go at attacking this mystery man. He's easily swatted away, and this unknown villain says perhaps the strangest thing yet. He says, "Fool, if the Blue Marvel couldn't stop me, what chance have any of you?"
That's the name!
That's the name of the character. So now this is interesting, because up until this point, this name has never been said before, ever, in the history of the Marvel Universe. Who the hell is the Blue Marvel? Well, we will soon find out. But before we do, let's find out what happens with the Avengers and their mystery ass-kicker. So after dispatching all of the Avengers and vaguely laying out his plans, this guy just disintegrates while yelling, "My time is up!" And before he disappears completely, he lets the Avengers know that they haven't won, heavily implying that he isn't dying and he will return. And naturally, the Avengers are confused as shit and begin the lengthy task of finding out who the hell that guy was.
So he came in, rocked their shit, and then just Thanos dusted away?
Yeah. It's more of a dissolve rather than a dust, but yeah.
That's some big dick energy.
Yeah. So, the task of finding out who this person was, for readers is pretty simple. You just turn the page. But if you're living in the year, I wrote 2020. It's 2021 now. swipe left on your tablet. That was dumb. I shouldn't have included that. That was just dumb. The turn of a page takes us back to June 4th, 1962. This page reveals that it was the Anti-Man that will eventually take on the Avengers 44 years later.
I hate the name.
There's reasoning behind it. It's a terrible name, but there is reasoning that has to tie in with the antimatter stuff.
Okay.
So the Anti-Man is currently in the middle of a battle with a character dressed in all blue except for a white cape, boots, and mask. Using the science of deduction, I have reasoned that this character is the Blue Marvel.
Are you fucking Sherlock Holmes?
The two seem to be having a moral argument over the people of the world. The Anti-Man seemingly wanting to shape the world he wants by force, and the Blue Marvel wanting to let the world change naturally. Now, I know that's very vague, but I promise it's going to be explained later. I see you, Lex. I see what you're doing. I don't like it.
I'm trying to piece things together, and it's a little early. Not working for me. Yeah, I know. Well, they came out of the gate hot.
Yeah, they do.
I've got no choice but to wonder how we got here.
Right.
Record scratch. You're probably wondering how I got here.
All right. So the two men do battle across the city, throwing cars, smashing through buildings, you know, classic superhuman stuff. During the battle, we learn that these two know each other on a more personal level. They both refer to each other by their first names, Connor, the Anti-Man, and Adam, the Blue Marvel. Now that we know their real names, I'm just going to use those instead of having to say Anti-Man and the Blue Marvel over and over, because it's a mouthful. Yes, please.
Thank you.
So
Adam and Connor. Okay.
Yes. Adam tries to reason with Connor, but Connor doesn't want to listen. He has a plan to change the world, and he intends on finishing it. So Adam decides enough is enough and unleashes his full might on Connor. He knocks Connor into a building that collapses on top of both of them. And when the dust settles, the citizens of the city rush to the pile of destroyed building, trying to catch a glimpse of either man, wondering if they are dead. Some of the debris begins to move, and Adam punches his way free, dragging Connor's unconscious body. The crowd rushes forward, yelling, "The Blue Marvel! The Blue Marvel! The Blue..." Something stops them. Is it Anti-Man becoming conscious again? Is it some new villain on the horizon? No. What stops the crowd is the slightly uncovered face of the Blue Marvel. Now, this is where things start to get uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
In this comic.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Blue Marvel is a known hero to these people, at least in the timeline of this comic, like in universe. He is someone they have seen fight evil and save people over and over again. But the sight of his face stops them in their tracks. What could be so bad about this man's face that would cause a crowd of people to stop cheering for their successful hero?
God damn it, Nick.
Well, if that crowd is a crowd of all white men in the year 1962, it could be that it's because Adam is a black man. Now, if you're not a racist piece of shit, that reveal wouldn't matter in the least bit. But since this is 1962 America, racism and segregation were still a huge part of American culture. And if you don't know much about that, now it's time for a history lesson about the Civil Rights Movement.
Oh, God, no. So they're basically like, thank you, Mr. Oh, it's a black guy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can kill us.
Yeah, that's they all just stop. And it's like, who gives a shit? He just saved your ass. Ugh. Anyway.
But this wasn't actually printed in the 60s, though, correct?
No,
this is
no.
Just a flashback.
This is a flashback to the 60s, yes.
Okay. Because that's a little bit too overtly racist for right, them to publish in the 60s.
No.
You just didn't show a black person at all.
No, Marvel was actually very progressive.
Were they?
Yeah. Okay. You know, Black Panther is the first African-American superhero.
African
superhero.
He was definitely Marvel's. I know Jon Stewart was...
Maybe Jon Stewart was the first. I don't remember.
Hold on, I'm looking up his first appearance now.
All right.
1966.
Was...
Black Panther.
Black Panther? Yeah. So
in the Fantastic Four.
He was one of the first. I can't tell you if he was the first or not, but anyway, Marvel was very progressive early on.
They definitely beat DC because Jon Stewart debuted in the 70s.
Okay, so we'll just go with that for now. It's canon. Okay, so just for those who may not know much about racism and civil rights in the 1950s and 60s, here's our little history lesson. The civil rights movement began in part in 1948 when President Harry Truman issued an executive order to end discrimination in the military. In 1955, a 42-year-old woman named Rosa Parks was sitting in her designated spot in the back of a segregated bus. When a white man got on and couldn't find a seat in the whites-only section, the bus driver demanded that Ms. Parks and three other black people get up and move for this man to have a seat. Mrs. Parks refused and was soon arrested and removed from the bus. Her arrest would lead to a boycott of the bus company and a Supreme Court ruling that segregated seating was unconstitutional. Yeah, no shit. So, in 1954, the Supreme Court made segregation illegal in public schools. In 1957, nine black students known as the Little Rock Nine were invited to attend the now desegregated Central High School. When they arrived at the school, they were met by the National Guard, sent by the governor, and an angry mob. They were not allowed inside the school. It took President Dwight D. Eisenhower ordering federal troops to escort these students to and from every class in order for them to go to fucking school and get an education. I wrote fucking the script because I was getting angry. Soon after, President Eisenhower signed the Civil Rights Act into law, allowing federal prosecution of anyone who tried to prevent someone from voting. Because while it was perfectly legal for black people to vote, it wasn't made easy for them. And honestly, it still isn't today.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
In 1960, four college students were denied service at a Woolworth's lunch counter. This led to the Greensboro sit-ins and the eventual desegregation of Woolworth's and other restaurants. In 1961, a group of seven black people and six white people went around testing the 1960 decision by the Supreme Court in Boynton versus Virginia that declared that segregation of interstate transportation facilities unconstitutional. This is a lot. I'm sorry. They were attacked by both police and white protesters, and at one point a bomb was thrown onto their bus by a mob. The group escaped but was badly beaten. They were attacked again in another city and then arrested in the next city for trespassing in a whites-only facility, possibly a bus station due to the nature of the experiment. Strap in, because it's about to get even worse.
Oh, joy! I've been having so much fun so far.
In 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. and 200,000 others marched on Washington, and King delivered his I Have a Dream speech. I'm sure you know where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
In 1964, acting President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act initiated by President John F. Kennedy before his assassination. The law prohibited discrimination in public places, provided for the integration of schools and other public facilities, and made employment discrimination illegal. In 1965, President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act, making it illegal to force voters to take literacy tests in order to vote. In 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated for his part in the Civil Rights Movement. Just days after this, the Fair Housing Act became law, which prevented housing discrimination based on race, sex, national origin, and religion. So, to say that black people were treated horribly during this time, and a long time before this, is a fucking understatement. Also, I have reduced all of these incidents, laws, and movements down to just the bare minimum to just get their information through to you as quickly as possible, in order to get back to the story. I highly recommend doing more research on this stuff and educating yourself. So, I apologize for the history lesson, but it is necessary knowledge for what happens next in this story. Okay, back to the story. The Pentagon War Room, August 1st, 1962. Here we see a meeting between President John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Robert Kelly, the asshole who proposed the Mutant Registration Act and the X-Men story Days of Future Past.
Another heavy story.
And as well as who I assume to be the president's advisors or maybe the War Council. In this meeting, they are discussing the sudden reveal of the Blue Marvel's identity, one Adam Brashear, as well as his power level. Spoiler alert, he is really powerful. We discussed that earlier.
And what can you remind me again? What year is was the Blue Marvel's reveal?
It would have been 62.
That's what I thought. Okay. So it was before a lot of good things happened.
When you say good things.
Well, like, okay, a lot of important things.
Yes. Yes, it was. A few of the things that they mention in this meeting are stopping a meteor the size of Arkansas from hitting the Earth. This is all stuff the Blue Marvel did, sorry.
Okay.
Lifting a damaged aircraft carrier out of the water and flying it to safety, and taking the full brunt force of a hydrogen bomb that exploded in his hands.
But Nick, have you considered the possibility that this is a black guy?
Yes.
This is incredible. All right.
Yeah, it's very obvious that the meeting was called to degrade the Blue Marvel, with one man referring to him as not your average colored. And attempting to convince the president that, quote, in this social climate, a colored man with that kind of power is a problem we would not be able to handle should things get out of hand. Yeah, so it just Anyway.
My appetite's actually gone. I was hungry when we started recording.
I told you this was going to be a heavy one. We also learned during this meeting that Adam earned 2 silver stars in the Marine Corps, which is the 3rd highest personal decoration one can earn for showing bravery in combat. He had rescued his sergeant after an ambush to earn those. This doesn't appear to be enough for one General Kreutz. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it. Who says, quote, "As far as I'm concerned, any Alabama porch monkey can be taught to point and shoot. And I told you there would be language in this series that I didn't feel comfortable with, no matter how much Randall from Clerks 2 tried to bring it back."
God, I mean, just goddamn.
Mm-hmm. The thing about that, Adam Brashear, he was born and raised in Chicago.
Nice.
Not even anywhere near Alabama.
No.
No.
Man. And what year? I'm sorry. I'm just trying to piece together, like, this story came out in, like, 2008?
2008 is when this was released, yes.
Man, you know, I'm starting to see why Marvel highlighted this on their app. They were like, hey, just take a look. Just take a quick look at this.
Yeah. This is kind of very similar, isn't it? Yeah. Would you look at that?
You know, I was going to try and compare my experience with watching iZombie during COVID to this, but I no longer feel comfortable making that connection.
Nope. So it's at this point that Robert Kelly speaks up and explains to the president that with the country being on the, quote, brink of socio-political watershed, the presence of a superpowered black man would upset the civil rights movement. Basically saying, we have been trying to push through civil rights, but we aren't quite there yet. And this revelation that this American superhero is a black man is causing a larger rift between the black people of America and the white. We learn that even though the Blue Marvel is still going around saving lives, there are white people that are trying to harm him and calling him racial slurs. But on the opposite side, there are black people that want him to be some kind of crazy Avenger that will murder all the white people, and they're pissed because he refused to do it.
So, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Other than that one. So, this is taking place in 1962, and we've gone through superhero origins several times on this show. We know Spider-Man was first seen in 64. In this flashback, at least, can you gather if there are other white superheroes or any other superheroes in general? Or is it just Blue Marvel right now?
The thing about the Marvel timeline.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, it's... So, you're correct. You know, Spider-Man came out way back in, what, was it, you say, 64?
Yeah. Well, that's when he got his run, yeah.
Yeah. So, technically, they exist, and I say that in quotes, in this timeline. But Marvel has what they call like a sliding timeline where it's really difficult to explain, but basically like our timeline isn't their timeline, but it is. So during the 60s, I believe there were active superheroes, but it wasn't who they are now. It's so confusing, man.
on our Discord call, I just see Nick rubbing his eyes and visibly getting a headache.
I guess the easiest way to answer your question is no. Spider-Man, like white superheroes, would not technically be part of the active scene at this time. We'll see very shortly that the superheroes that we know, even the ones that debuted in the 60s and 70s, are active currently, and they have no idea who this guy is. And I'll explain why very shortly. So it's just that weird way that Marvel does their timelines.
You ready for this, Nick?
Yeah.
It's comics.
It's comics. Yeah. And it also has to do a lot with the reboots. There's all kinds of reboots, and that kind of resets the timeline.
They just thought of some cool shit they wanted to do, but then we were like, oh, wait, there are rules in place. There's already things that have happened.
Yeah.
No, not anymore. Undo.
Yeah. And like you said, it's comic books. They can get away with doing stuff like this.
So I'm looking too much into this.
A teensy bit.
Okay.
But it's a fair question. Are there white superheroes that are going around, you know, without masks on or whatever?
Because I'm sure that Blue Marvel, once he was outed as a black man, would be compared to any other superhero that you could tell was white. Mm-hmm. And then they would just devalue his merits and be like, well, white Spider-Man did this. It just make everything messier. I feel awful right now. Continue.
No, you're correct. I do believe there are superheroes that are mentioned. The best thing I can compare it to is like Adam Scott. Mm-hmm. Is that the Green Lantern? Is that right? Adam Scott?
Alan Scott.
Gotcha. From Parks and Rec. Alan Scott. Yes. Alan Scott. How he was active as Green Lantern, but it's kind of,
he was in a different Earth and then it was merged and like, he still kept his history, but so did everyone else. It's fucky. It's comics.
It's comics. Okay. So let's get back to it. The president himself is distraught, wondering why they didn't act sooner. He says, we could have taken down the white and colored only signs years ago, but we didn't. We could have abolished Jim Crow completely, but again, we didn't. But now that a colored man has come along who can stand up to us, we become paranoid, frightened children.
Yeah, he could kill all of you with a fucking thought.
But he won't.
He's choosing not to. He's
a good guy.
Yeah. A fucking hero.
He's a hero, and he's an American. He's like, he served in the army, and you know. Anyway, the president, seeing no other option, calls a meeting with Adam Brashear. He tells him that the people are afraid that someone with his kind of power will try to take over the world. They're afraid that someone of color will try to take revenge for what has been done to his people. These people are very ignorant people. But as we all know, ignorance is bliss.
And they weren't afraid of his power until they realized he was black.
Correct. People don't like to admit when they are wrong, and they certainly don't like to change.
Yeah.
In an effort to calm the American people, the president asks Adam to stand down and cease all activities as the Blue Marvel, effective immediately. The only thing he offers in return for this is the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor that can be bestowed upon a civilian for his or her undying humanitarian efforts. Adam takes the medal and leaves to start his new life as a normal American citizen.
And at night, he dresses up as the Red Marvel.
Yeah. The president wonders aloud, quote, how can it ever be right to tell a man he can't be who he is? I only pray that should we ever need him again, he'll find it in his heart to forgive us. And that is the end of issue one.
There's just so many things wrong with that. Like, hey, no more small-time hero business. Save your hero business for the big shit.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's basically...
No. He doesn't want him operating with... He doesn't want him using his powers, period.
Yeah, but he said... I think he said, but hopefully if we need him again...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so, like, if we're ever completely fucked, hopefully you'll come save us, but don't save anybody else.
Not that we'd fucking deserve it, because...
No.
You know, we just told you not to save people.
Yeah.
They actively told him to stop saving lives.
Yeah, I don't like, because it's President Kennedy, I don't like getting mad, because it's not actually him, it's somebody writing. I try to separate the two. One's a real person, the other's a character, but in this he's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
This. Like, he could have stood up and be like, no, this guy's an American hero. Why on earth would we tell him to stop operating?
Yeah.
Like, let's work with him and have him be the forerunner of the civil rights movement. Let's get shit done.
If anything, you could give him access to greater resources so he could be a more effective hero. Be like, oh, we have some shit going on over here. Could you save people?
Yeah, just put him on posters and be like, look, this is the guy that's saving your white ass. Yeah. Maybe stop being so shitty towards his people.
It's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah.
and just went whoop right over their heads.
Yeah. You know politics.
Yep, and that's what we are, a politics podcast. We are today, kind of.
Yeah, I guess it gets a little. I was gonna say if we're gonna become a political podcast, I quit.
Yeah, no, I can't do it.
All right, let's get into issue number 2, which begins with Iron Man's quest to find out who Anti-Man is and who the Blue Marvel might be.
Back in 2008.
Present time.
Yes. Okay.
While discussing the issue with Fantastic Four member Reed Richards, a.k.a. Mr. Fantastic, and fellow Avenger Hank Pym, a.k.a. Yellow Jacket.
Smart guys. All of them.
Hank seems to remember a hero from the 60s called the Blue Marvel, and Reed says there was a rumor that he was killed in action. Now, this kind of touches on the thing you said earlier, where Hank Pym and Reed Richards technically would have been active during those years. But they're still around here in 2008, and they're not very much older, so that's, you can see where the timeline gets a little fucky.
Yeah, that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, and they just kind of have like a little gray. Well, Mr. Fantastic always has the gray, but...
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, other than that little... Hank remembering a little bit of a character and Reed saying that there was a rumor that he was killed, they don't have any other clue who Adam is. So they move on to the theories about Anti-Man. Reed tells Tony that Anti-Man is completely composed of antimatter, hence the name, and that he may very well be fueled by antimatter. And Junior, since you've already asked the question, I know that you don't really understand what antimatter is, so let me educate you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Smarty Pants. Talk down to me.
Look, I'm not even going to look at my script.
Piece of shit, he's blocking his webcam.
Antimatter refers to subatomic particles that have properties opposite normal subatomic particles. Antimatter is the opposite of normal matter. More specifically, the subatomic particles of antimatter have properties opposite those of normal matter. Did you get all that?
Now, can you tell me what antimatter is without saying that exact same sentences?
Nope.
This is almost as bad as when Dakota one-upped me in our Green Lantern episodes when he told me what a black hole was, and I had the fucking information there, and he stole it from me.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough to steal stuff from you. So assuming the Anti-Man is composed of antimatter as well as using it to fuel his power, that explains why his physical form lost integrity and he disappeared. Essentially, he lost all his power and ability to maintain a physical form.
Did he just, like, exert himself too much? And, like...
That's kind of how I took it, yeah.
Okay. So he was just tired from beating the shit out of a bunch of superheroes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their best bet for defeating him is to find the source of his power and seal it off. And they have to do it fast because, as some science fiction nerds might know, if antimatter touches normal matter, it causes an explosion.
But he's made out of antimatter, and he threw Tony Stark around, mm-hmm. and... what?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You're right. here's a little bit about the principles of antimatter. Antimatter particles are almost identical to their matter counterparts, except that they carry the opposite charge and spin. When antimatter meets matter, they immediately annihilate into energy. According to theory, the Big Bang should have created matter and antimatter in equal amounts. When matter and antimatter meet, they annihilate, leaving nothing but energy behind. So in principle, none of us should exist. But we do, and as far as physicists can tell, it's only because, in the end, there was one extra matter particle for every billion matter-antimatter pairs. Physicists are hard at work trying to explain this asymmetry. Didn't know you were going to get history and science, did you?
I am so done with this. This doesn't make any sense. Because even if you...
How could he interact at all with the Avengers? I'm not trying to poke holes in the story.
No.
But poke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of comics. I don't know if it's like he's antimatter until he's until like he uses antimatter to fuel himself until he becomes physical. It doesn't hold up once you start poking at it.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it alone.
You're correct there, but just know that you're absolutely correct.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it alone.
Okay, so let's get back to the story. Tony, aka Iron Man, for those who don't know his first name, decides to do his own investigation on the Blue Marvel to try to find out his identity. At this current time, Tony is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. I cannot get into why he's the director because I didn't bother to look.
Okay.
But if you don't know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the largest law enforcement and counterterrorism agency in the Marvel Universe.
Could it have something to do with Civil War that was in like 2007, just a year before? Because he won, didn't he?
Could be, but I didn't look into it. I do know he was director for a time, but
okay,
couldn't tell you why. We'll have to do an episode on that. All right. So since he has access to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, all their records, he decides to check all their information to see if he can find anything about the Blue Marvel. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comic book stands for Strategic Hazard Intervention Espionage Logistics Directorate. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it stands for Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division, which I like a lot more.
I was about to say, I think that I like that one better.
Yeah. It's less confusing, I guess.
Well, it's more straightforward. To me, like, I understand what their intentions are more with that acronym.
Yeah. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. has access to pretty much every law enforcement agency in the world. Tony sets the computer to scan the files of the Avengers, Fantastic Four, the X-Men, the NSA, the CIA, FBI, Interpol, MI6, MI6, yeah. The DGSE and the KGB. And more. But he receives only one search result from the KGB, which is very interesting considering Russia's involvement in the Cold War during the period that the Blue Marvel was active. Now, here's our history lesson on the Cold War. No, I'm not
going to. Oh, God! I don't know if I should actually make this prediction on the show, but.
Go for it.
Is this revisionist history? Was it because he's a black superhero they erased him from the history books?
Like, you're talking about, like, in the records of, like, like S.H.I.E.L.D. and all. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Man, I'm good at this. Oh.
Okay, so, initially, Tony is denied access to the files, but after some emergency overrides, he is the director after all, he is eventually given access to the files. He learns that S.H.I.E.L.D. was assigned as the security detail for the Blue Marvel. They don't explain what that detail entails, but as we will soon find out, it doesn't seem like they were assigned to the Blue Marvel for his protection. Tony storms off to find one of the oldest members of S.H.I.E.L.D., Dum Dum Duggan. Duggan? Dugan?
Duggan?
Dum Dum Duggan. Is it Duggan or Dugan?
I'd say Duggan.
I feel like it's Dugan.
All right, well, how's it spelled?
D-U-G-A-N.
Oh, yeah, I think you might be right. Dugan.
Dum Dum Dugan. I think it's Dugan. Yeah. Anyway, Dugan is the subdirector of S.H.I.E.L.D. under Tony. I tried to find out why they call him Dum Dum, but the best I could find was a fan theory that they called him that in reference to a bullet called a Dum Dum, which is basically just a hollow point. Yeah, I could not find anything.
He got shot with a hollow point.
Maybe he used them. I don't know.
Okay.
Dugan tells Tony he had nothing to do with this apparent cover-up, and neither did Nick Fury, the former director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Who, in the comics, was a white guy, not Samuel L. Jackson.
Correct. Until the Ultimate Universe came around, and then he was a black man.
They modeled it off of him.
I was going to say, they looked exactly the same, so.
Yeah.
All right, so he tells Tony that his team refused a direct order because they didn't agree with what was being done. I'm assuming that Dugan and his team were, and Nick Fury were given the detail, but they said no, basically because of what was like the way the government was suppressing him. Is my understanding.
Was the way that they were suppressing the Blue Marvel?
Yes.
Okay. So they're like, so Tony, hey, what you're doing is not right. Fuck you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Tony asks him if he didn't have any involvement, what happened? And Dugan tells him, quote, Jackie Robinson, Cassius Clay, the world wasn't ready for him. It was a different time, a different world. Mm-hmm. And Tony doesn't accept that excuse. And honestly, Dugan doesn't either, which is weird because he said it. But he says that a black man with that much power made people, aka racists, uncomfortable. And Tony sort of misinterprets what Dugan is telling him and says, oh, so it's fine for someone like Thor or the Century to have that kind of power, but when it's someone of color, suddenly it's a problem. And Dugan, seemingly tired of having his words twisted back on him, tells Tony, look, I'm done with you. If you want the whole story, you need to find a man named Kreutz, the racist general from the flashback earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But you're probably not going to like what he has to say. And you won't. Kreutz is now an extremely old man, wheelchair bound and equipped with an oxygen tank. Kreutz seemingly feels bad about what they did and feels that he is not the same man that he was in the 60s.
Seemingly.
He says that he has repented, even though he still refers to black people as coloreds and calls the Blue Marvel boy at one point.
Ugh.
And if you don't understand why boy is used in a negative manner when referring to a black man, it's because white slave owners did not see black people as equals. They were viewed as inferior, and calling them boy was just one of the ways of saying, like, you're less than me, you're not even a man. So, it's just a perfectly normal word, it can be used in a racist context. So while Kreutz may feel he is a changed man, he still has some work to do with his terminology. He tells Tony he knows the country wasn't right back then, but what if the Blue Marvel turned against them? What if he became more like Gabriel Prosser or Malcolm X? Gabriel Prosser was an enslaved person that led a revolt against the slave masters, and Malcolm X was a civil rights activist whose ideals were the opposite of the nonviolent Martin Luther King Jr. He felt basically that aggression towards black people should be met with aggression. Go ahead.
This is not a political podcast, but just from your description alone, those men still just wanted equality. They just went about it a different way.
Yes. It was still like, we want to be seen as people. Which is fair.
They wouldn't have done the things they did if they were equal from the get-go.
Sure. Yeah. They just took the more aggressive route, whereas like Martin Luther King Jr. was more about peaceful protesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is like, what if this guy decides to take the aggressive route and he just wipes out the government or whatever? Which, if you guys can't get your shit together and treat people normally,
when a bunch of petulant children are in charge, maybe they needed a spanking.
Yeah. I'm glad we're on the same page here. So, not only was the government afraid of the Blue Marvel turning against them, they were also afraid that any person with powers at this time was a mutant. When Jack Kirby and Stan Lee created the X-Men in the early 60s, they became an allegory for the racism and anti-Semitism of the time. So, with that fear in mind, the government called in Bolivar Trask to ask his opinion on the matter. Bolivar Trask, played by Peter Dinklage in the X-Men movie in the movie X-Men Days of Future Past, was the leading proponent of the elimination of all mutants. Trask told the government that while he did not believe the Blue Marvel to be a mutant, he did believe the government should keep an eye on him. This led to the creation of Project Wide Awake. This was an illegal committee that was tasked with protecting the United States from the mutant menace. You nice. Didn't hear the air quotes. There were air
quotes. I mean, there's a difference between you got someone that's that powerful. Sure, you're going to want to monitor him. But they didn't have any quarrels with him until they realized he was black.
Correct. Totally fine with everything he did. Everything was fine when he saved their asses time and time again. But the second that his mask got ripped, all that was thrown out the door.
Their true nature could not be more transparent.
Correct. Now, while we know from issue number one that the president himself asked the Blue Marvel to stand down and cease being a superhero, what Kreutz tells Tony is that he was called in for one last mission. The government picked, like you said, they're going to call him back for something when their asses are on the line. So the government picked up a signal at the edge of the solar system. Whatever it was powerful. The president called in the Blue Marvel and sent him to space to deal with it. The idea being that, hopefully, whatever it was, the Blue Marvel would deal with it, but at the same time, be killed.
Do we have any idea? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, basically two birds with one stone.
Yeah. It's just so incredible to be like, hey, I fear this thing more than the black guy. Hey, come help me. Do we know when this mission took place, or are you going to get to that? Because he was revealed in 62.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was around that 62, 63, 64, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I did not write down the year that he did this last mission.
Just wondering how long they kept him in the pocket.
I would assume it wasn't very long. Just, I don't know how you would go back, like, spend like 10 years with this person sitting on the sidelines and then be like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, he was actively doing, like, big things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I imagine things were kind of a regular occurrence.
Yeah, and with the idea that they could possibly eliminate him at the same time as dealing with whatever the threat was, I'm assuming it was pretty close, just
That fear was still fresh in their mind.
Yeah, and for clarification, I don't think it was the president that made this plan. I think it was that council that he had listened to earlier in the story.
Okay.
I think they were the ones that convinced him to do this.
Okay. That's a good disclaimer.
Yeah. So the Blue Marvel flew out into space and found an alien that was a scout for a hostile armada. The two battled and there was a massive explosion. That was the last time Kreutz saw the Blue Marvel. Tony is pissed. He says that the Blue Marvel was their only chance of defeating Anti-Man, and bigotry got him killed. Kreutz tells him the alien encounter was just another layer of the cover story in case anyone came looking. He gives Tony a file and says, "You didn't get this from me." The information in that file leads Tony to Silver Spring, Maryland, the home of the former Blue Marvel, Adam Brashear. When Tony arrives, he is greeted by Adam's wife, Candace Brashear. She tells Tony that her husband isn't home, and she demands to know why Tony showed up on their lawn with a security detail, because he shows up, like, with helicopters and everything.
Okay, like, the full shebang.
Loaded down. Yeah. I guess not knowing what he's getting into.
Yeah. Which, it's understandable.
My thing is, though, as the guy that's been sidelined by the government for being a danger, if you showed up full-ass helicopters and everything, I'm coming out swinging.
Yeah.
You might just want to show up in a rental car and ask some nice questions there, Tony.
So, I mean, it's kind of obvious that this general has kind of turned his ways, but it doesn't excuse anything that he did. But it's like, I guess at least he's helping. He's not actively being a hindrance.
Right. It's kind of like he used to be a huge piece of shit, and now he's just like a little Hershey Kiss of shit. He just doesn't quite have his terminology figured out yet.
Which, I mean, if you give a shit, you can make the effort to change.
Sure, absolutely. You know,
it's not that damn hard.
There's a lot of stuff, you know, back in the day as kids, we used to say, oh, that's gay. Mm-hmm. But now, like, that's not acceptable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't call things gay anymore. I'm also a 31-year-old man, so I'm not going to fucking say that. But, you know, that's my point, is, like, you can change. You can make the effort to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
It's not even like you have to, like, wear a different shirt. You just don't say that. It's right. Not that hard. It costs you just no additional effort.
Yeah, you just stop saying it. You just stop. Don't do a thing. It's not hard. Okay, so Candace is pissed, obviously. She's got helicopters on her lawn.
Yeah.
Tony's just like, I don't have time for this.
Oh, no.
He needs to know where Adam is. And what he says to her is, Miss Frazier, please, I don't have time. Now, Candace is taken aback by this, and she's like, what did you call me? And it's at this point that it is revealed that Adam's wife is actually Marlene Frazier, a.k.a. Agent 314, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that was tasked with getting close to Adam and reporting everything about him back to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh.
But we're going to explore that more.
Oh, no. You made me sad again.
In the next episode, actually.
Ah! Okay. Sorry.
So Candace is visibly upset by Tony dropping her real name and potentially exposing her. Yes, sir.
Does she know that he's Iron Man? Or is he just some asshole in Tony? A suit? Yeah.
I assume she knows who Tony Stark is. He's pretty well known at this point.
Okay.
Tony tells her that her secret is safe with him, and he just asks that she has Adam call him. Candace is shown looking incredibly somber as Tony walks away in the background.
Call me.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to talk. Have him call. Gives her a card. Tony just hands out his personal cell phone, apparently.
A lot of people get Tony Stark's personal cell phone. At one point, Thor, is just because he's still mad that Tony cloned Thor without his permission, he carves Tony's personal cell phone number onto Mjolnir, his hammer, and throws it down to Earth. So people just find it. And then the whole town of Broxton, Oklahoma just starts calling Tony Stark's cell phone.
Nice. So the scene shifts to the University of Maryland, where Adam now teaches physics. His phone rings and he answers, and his wife tells him he needs to come home because they're looking for him. And that is where the story ends for this episode.
Oh.
Ugh. On the next episode, we'll be exploring the relationship between Candace, aka Agent 314, and Adam, as well as wrapping up his story with the Anti-Man.
Wow.
I know this is a little bit of a shorter episode, which after the last 2-hour episode, I think is probably going to be a little refreshing for people.
Well, with a subject as heavy as we just did, it's, I think, a smaller chunk, a more bite-sized piece is fine.
Yeah. The next episode is going to be more about present day. A little bit of racism in it, but it's going to be more about the history of Adam and Connor, the Anti-Man, which I just realized I said I wasn't going to call him Anti-Man the entire time, and I just did anyway. So we're going to find out more about those two, and we're going to find out about Candace and Adam's relationship and how they came to be married and everything.
Okay, so and then, since this was heavy, I kind of want to do a quick recap. So Blue Marvel and Anti-Man fought before, and you know, bad things happened. He was told to stop being a superhero, yada, yada, yada. And at some point, S.H.I.E.L.D. sent an operative to get close to him. And it sounds like he never found out. Blue Marvel never found out.
Correct.
And so to most of the world, he was erased from existence. But the racist general knew that he survived.
Yeah, and
they kind of just agreed to leave him alone in peace for the rest of his days.
Yes. Like, I guess I didn't portray it well enough. The alien invasion thing was essentially ended up being a cover-up because he did survive. He flew back to Earth, and they just said, oh, the Blue Marvel died in space for the American people.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, when that was what Mr. Fantastic was talking about earlier, like that rumor that he died.
Oh, okay. I didn't put that together.
Yeah. So they took that story and they flipped it and like, oh yeah, he died. And then he became just an average citizen. And then they decided to, I guess, to make sure that he did his, you know, he did what he was told. They sent an operative to watch, get close to him.
Oh man. But it was made clear that S.H.I.E.L.D. sent an operative.
Yes.
Even though
it was S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh. Well, now I'm upset with S.H.I.E.L.D. That's not cool.
Yeah, this is old racist S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess.
You don't mess with love, man. Wow. Fuck. All right. Well, this was... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do want to say that it doesn't seem like Nick Fury gave the command for S.H.I.E.L.D. to send an operative. I think it was like a S.H.I.E.L.D. reporting to the government type of thing, and the government, maybe the Pentagon, gave that command to send an operative to keep an eye on him.
Okay.
So.
Ugh. That was heavy.
See, I told you. Told you it was going to be a heavy one.
But no, I think it's still good, though. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that story. For sure. Man, I feel blueballed now.
Well, I guess you'll have to tune back in. This... Well, you won't. You'll be a part of it. But...
this is your first multi-partner. I guess now I know how it feels to be on the other end of it, to not know where we're going.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Well, I just want to say thank you for listening from whatever corner of the multiverse that you reside in. Make sure to subscribe. I almost had it, man.
You almost did.
I almost did it.
You can cut it and redo it. I won't say anything.
Nah. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get the new episodes as soon as they drop. If you're able to, leave us a review. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Multiverse616. If you would like to email us to tell us what pieces of shit white people are, you can do that at WTTMpod@gmail.com.
Being a piece of shit is not exclusive to white people, though. We just have the best documented history with it.
Right. That is correct.
Wow. So this was just two white guys talking about racism, our new podcast.
What would you call it?
Yeah. I have nothing. Nothing that's
nice. Yeah, I didn't think so. All right, make sure you tune in 2 weeks from now to find out the conclusion of the Blue Marvel story. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Goodbye.